were talking about fundamentals of faith, shoes for the journey. Of course, if you've been here at any time at all, you can see over here at Damascus Road, we're all about the road and different things we value, encountering the presence of God, illumination, transformation, destination. All those things are important in our walk with Christ. And we need shoes for the walk. So this is shoes for the journey. Grace. It's more than a blessing over food, by the way. And I mean, it's nice. I don't really think God minds if we occasionally miss that. But, you know, the point is that grace is so much more than that. And it's a topic that, you know, you try to talk about something like that in a few minutes and it seems impossible, but we're going to give it a shot. So 2 Peter 3:18, there's a verse that I want to start with. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." It says a couple things here. It gives us a mandate. It says that we are supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it also is implying that we need to do something about it. It says, you grow. I mean, it's your turn, tag, you're it. Do something with this thing called grace. Do something with this thing with your relationship with Christ. You know, the Word of God is all-powerful. Is that right? I got agreement on that. The Word of God is all-powerful, all right? And Satan fears, and there really is a devil, and he really does fear the Word of God. I always say that. I find myself saying it's different when you're American like me, and you come in a different culture, the way you approach things is entirely different. I'm constantly learning. But I find so many people that if I were to go out in the street and say the devil, they go, oh, well, you know. But the truth is, he does exist. There is a devil, and that's why you hear me say Satan is real. I mean, you know, we may take it for granted, most of us, but some people don't agree. But Satan is real, and he fears the Word of God. By the way, Jesus is the Word. The Bible teaches us clearly. Satan knows the overcoming power of the Word of God. And so when God says something like this in 2 Peter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And he's saying, take some effort here. You know, Satan doesn't want that because he knows if we get some of God's word in us, it revolutionizes our life and it transforms us and it makes us, to use this term, a weapon in God's hands against darkness. And Satan doesn't like that. He knows the power of God's word. After all, if you remember, when Jesus was being tempted by the enemy, what did he do? He distorted the Word of God. He tried to come at Jesus, the living Word. This is really a dumb move on Satan's part. But the guy that wrote it, okay, he comes and says, oh, by the way, doesn't your Word say this? And Jesus, of course, explained it to him more clearly because the devil is a liar. But the more the power and truth of God can be released in our lives, the more we study the Word, okay? And it's no wonder that Satan works really hard, doesn't he? To distract us. Aren't there always things to do other than pray? Aren't there always things to do other than read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, whatever? There's always another thing you can be doing. And Satan makes sure that the options are quite available and are readily there, right? So he's good at distracting ourselves from the truth. But when we walk in the fullness of God's grace, and we're going to talk about that word grace. I don't know about you, but grace is one of those words when I thought about, okay, what are some basic things, fundamentals of faith that we need to talk about? When I hear the word grace, a lot of definitions go through my mind. It's like mercy, you know, those kinds of things. They're kind of those, you can color those things a little bit with what you understand from your own life. But when we walk in that fullness of God's grace, we move in a new realm of freedom and understanding. And not only victory on our own lives, but it becomes contagious to other people. That's why I wanted Leon to come up and share about flyering on Fridays, because it gets contagious. You talk to people, and it's just dumb stuff that you can't even predict what happened, that you end up talking with people that are interested in the things of God. And it wouldn't happen if you weren't there with your little piece of paper going, you know. But that's the way God works. It becomes contagious. God's grace is the very presence of love, of the love of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what the dictionary, this is the Thorndike Barnhart World Book Dictionary, in case you're wondering, says about grace. Okay, it's the favor and love of God influence of God operating in man to improve and strengthen. It's the condition of being influenced and favored by God. And these are kind of synonyms: mercy, pardon, clemency, forgiveness. And then it talks about mercy. Mercy defined is more kindness than justice requires. That's a pretty good definition. More kindness than justice even requires. Kindness beyond what can be claimed or expected. So I've also heard grace is described as being the undeserved favor from God. Undeserved. That pretty much sums up grace. Undeserved. We shouldn't even get close to touching it from God. But God says, it's okay, I'm giving it to you anyway. That's the kind of God we serve. But that's what grace is. And remember, when God wrote out the Ten Commandments, by the way, God wrote the Ten Commandments, not men. Remember, the finger of God came down and scribed onto the stone, etched in with the finger, burned in, the finger of Jesus, burned in the work, because he's the word, burned in to the stone. You ever think, why didn't God just write that on some paper? I mean, parchment, papyrus, you know, goat skin. I mean, but you know why? Because those things perish. But when God writes something, it's yea and amen. He said, this is for all time. I don't change, you know. God doesn't change his mind. I'm backing out. No, God says, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I say. So God took his finger and he wrote it because it would last. And that was the law of God. Then Moses also wrote the ceremonial law, but Moses wrote that. You notice there's a difference. God wrote on the Ten Commandments with his finger, but Moses wrote the ceremonial law. God used man to write on this parchment, not stone, and skins. And why? Now, why is that significant? Because they weren't designed to be lasting. Now, Ten Commandments, yeah. But the ceremonial law, and it says, Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus came to fulfill. He didn't come to abolish. He didn't come to destroy, but he came to fulfill the law and the prophets and make a new covenant. So he didn't come to destroy the old law or the old covenant, but to fulfill it. And, you know, when it came to the law, God used his finger. But when it comes to grace, God used his whole body. He used Jesus. You ever think of that? God wrote with his finger, and that was the law. Okay, God says, I'll give you one finger for that. But when it comes to grace, I'm going to give you myself. Do that on the cross. So the law was written on stone tablets, and in the new covenant, God said he would write the laws on our minds and on our hearts. That's in Hebrews 8:10. So the law is still useful, the Old Testament, but the law convinces us that we need a Savior. Think about it. If you didn't know, I saw a demonstration once of a guy, demonstration. That's what you do with blenders, I think. But it was an illustration, and he stuck this ugly thing on his forehead, and he said, what's wrong? You know, people are looking at him like, you look funny. And he says, well, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. You see that. I don't see anything. But he says, if I have a mirror and I look at that, then I could go, oh, I've got a problem here. I didn't see that till I had the mirror because I thought I was okay. Honestly, those of you that wear glasses, there's some of us here, have you ever looked for your glasses and you've been wearing them? Come on. Yeah, how often did that happen today? It's the same kind of thing. You know, we can't see, as we say, we have a saying in America, we can't see the forest for the trees sometimes. And we can't see the sin without the law. The law reveals the sin. That was the purpose of the law, was to reveal the sin. It helps us to know that we need a Savior because the law was impossible to accomplish. As a human being, of course, Jesus, no problem. But for us, I mean, the synagogue rulers, they couldn't do it, and neither can we. So the law was designed to reveal sin. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets as prophesied, and he's that author of the new covenant. And it's not based on works or law, but it's based on grace. Grace. So that's why we're coming around to this. Grace. That unmerited, that favor and love of God, that influence in our life that operates within us to improve us and strengthen us to be more Christ-like and also be more effective in the world that we're reaching. favor. It's the favor of God. And he writes it on the hearts of men instead of stone. Why? Because stone can eventually burn, but we are created as eternal beings. We have a spirit that's going to go somewhere when we die. You know, in Genesis 17, I don't think it's on the screen, not intended to be, 17, it talks about how God established an everlasting covenant with Abraham, you know, and his descendants, really, says, you know, he gave Abraham some amazing insight into how he's going to influence the rest of the world for eternity. That was in Genesis 17, 1 through 8. But in Deuteronomy, Moses was reminded by God that before they were to enter the promised land, God was not pleased with the Israelites, but that he was fulfilling his promises to Abraham to go back to that original covenant. God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to uphold my word. Whether I like you or not, I'm going to uphold the word. You just happen to be in the way. And in Deuteronomy 9:5, here's what it says. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you're going in to take possession of their land. Now he's talking about the promised land here. But on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when God delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh, it wasn't because they were full of faith and righteous. It was because he was upholding his pre-spoken word. The same goes for us, for that matter. Not that any of us are righteous, but God has declared things about us when we ask him into our heart and life. It's grace. It's grace that accomplishes all those things. As his children in Christ, we don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve salvation, but he does it anyway. Because without grace, we are sunk. No way out. So the whole journey of the Christian life is dependent on God's gifts of grace. And I'm going to go over 4 points here. I don't know, we have those, Glory, or did we get those? Okay. But to begin with, when we make a decision to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, God gives us, the Bible calls it, a measure of grace. And it's a gift that, if you think about it, it even enables us when we're unbelievers to be believers. It's grace. It's like, knock, 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 you know? It's like that feeling, I don't know how it was for you before you received Jesus. Or maybe it was like you heard about Jesus and you just like, bang, I'm doing this. Maybe you're one of those hard cases like me that waits a long time. And God has, you know, ramrods, chisels, I mean, you know, get out the pneumatic power tools, everything, to try to crack the stubbornness. And, you know, it's that gift of grace that even enables that to get in and open us up to the truth of the love and the power of Jesus Christ. I mean, even that is a measure of grace. In Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, everyone. It also says men are without excuse. In Romans. The second thing, God gives us grace to be set free from sin. Set free from sin. We have choices, don't we, once we're born again. We can make decisions to sin. God will give us that latitude. We can make those decisions, but God says, my grace is enough. That's why we sang that earlier. You know, because he's saying, the things I can put in your life, I can give you the power to say no. I can give you. We used to have a thing in the U.S. Matt, I don't know if you remember. It was just say no. You know, do you remember that, Jay? Just say no. And I remember, of course, I think that was when I was just say heathen, when I didn't know Jesus at all. And so for me, you know, even then that seemed peculiar. They had this thing about drugs, just say no. And I'm like, that's not a good reason just to say no. It's like, why? You know, little kids would say, but why? You know, go away. Just say no. You know how they do that? But God gives us the power through grace to literally say no, to walk away, to run like remember Joseph from Potiphar's wife. I mean, to take off if we need to. But there's a decision. I believe Joseph at that point, he had to make a decision. I'm going to live as a child of the king, meaning God, or I'm going to do this. And he had to make a decision. But God gave him the grace, gave him the power to make those kinds of decisions and hold them up. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Not under law, but under grace. Sin doesn't have to be our master because of favor of God, grace. It also says, God gives us grace to will and to act according to his good purpose. That's found in Philippians 2:13. God gives us the power to respond to his word, to live it out. Yeah, we do fall. We do make mistakes. But God says, my grace is sufficient. You can do these things. Get back up. And there's stories all through the Bible. Remember Elijah when he was running from Jezebel? After he just slaughtered, like, I don't know how many hundreds of the false prophets and, you know, Baal worshipers. And Jezebel puts out a threat, a little mild threat. I'm going to do to you the same as, you know, she was just, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes, you know, and he goes running for his life. I mean, he just got rid of all these people, saw God do all this, and now he's afraid of one woman. Now, sorry, women, I don't mean, ladies, that you have no power. But he was running from this one woman, and God said, "What are you doing here?" When he caught up with, "What? Do you remember who you are? Do you remember who I am?" Because it's grace. God gives us favor. He gives us grace to pray. He gives us grace to pray. So the next time you have an alternative, say, wait a minute, I'm going to pray. God's given me favor to pray, and favor in prayer, by the way. He gives us grace to grow in Christ, 2 Peter 3:18, and to witness for Christ. And Acts 4:33 says, "And the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all." Favor, grace. Three, God's grace should be desired and seriously or tenaciously sought. Like that song, "As a deer panteth for the water," you know? It was always a strange song to me. I have to admit it. It's great. You know, first time I heard it, okay, I was recently saved, I think, and I was in a church. "As the deer panteth for the water." And I'm like, that's peculiar, you know? The deer panteth for the water. Anyways, sorry, just had a flashback to the past. But God's grace should be desired and seriously sought. So how do we do that? Yeah, see? So how do we do that? By studying and obeying Scripture. Studying and then doing what it says, of course. Because faith without works is dead faith. Studying and doing Scripture. By hearing the message, the proclamation of the gospel. Hearing the message. You know, letting it sink in. By praying to Jesus and fasting. We'll be talking about prayer, like I said, here this summer. By worshiping Christ. Like it says, sing songs and hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. By worshiping him. By being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we haven't talked about Holy Spirit. That's kind of a bigger topic. We'll eventually get to that, but the Bible says, be continually filled. You know, one thing I found out about God, and this is one of Satan's lies too. Satan wants you to think you bought the ticket, now it's time to sit down. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, you know, met God. Now we go do something else. Let's all go eat chicken or whatever. But God always has new things. God is an inexhaustible God, whether it be the Holy Spirit, whether it be the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it be the promises. I mean, God can just keep, as long as you're hungry for God, as the deer pants for the water, as long as you're hungry for God and seeking after God, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Favor of God, grace of God through the Holy Spirit. That's another issue. A whole other dimension of living in the Spirit. God's grace empowers and enables us also for service. 1 Peter 4:10. It says this. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Notice to serve. You use what God has given you to help, to serve, to do something for others. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Many kinds of gifts, many kinds of forms of gifts, many ways to be a blessing. And so many people, I'm sure if I went around this room, we had the time, and I started asking you, what do you think you're gifted in? Oh, not much. I didn't really, you know how it goes. Or, well, you know, I like to have people over my house and bake for them. Good. That's called hospitality. I mean, there's so many. Who says one gift is worse than another one or better than another one? Anyway, that's us that does that. We start evaluating. We compare to other people. And that's not what we should do, obviously, because our gifts are valuable. But the thing is, as we are faithful in the little things, God gives us more. So be faithful in the gifts that you have, because God's grace empowers and enables us for the service. Grace is God's presence and love through Jesus, given to the believers by the Holy Spirit, imparting mercy and forgiveness and the desire and power to do God's will. Another kind of quasi-definition. And it reminds me of Paul, you know, the apostle, and the things that God did in his life. He'd been forgiven of so much. It says in 1 Timothy 1:15, 16, this is about the Lord's grace to Paul. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Just a thought. Have you ever caught yourself judging someone because maybe the way they acted, maybe they were a drunk, maybe they were a bum, smelled pretty bad out on the street coming up to you, you know, asking for the same line you've heard a million times, asking for money, maybe a murderer or a child molester out there that you, have you ever just really, you know, found yourself judging someone like that? It's easy to do at times. But there's a saying that I've heard before, except for the grace of God, there I am, there goes I. Except for the grace of God. You know what? None of us are much different from one another. The factor that changes it all is Jesus Christ, is grace. You know, you look out on the street, you can see people go, oh, look at those. Well, guess what? That's you. That's Jean Valjean. That's each of us, except for the grace of Jesus Christ and what he did. God is willing to save, restore, and empower anyone who will come to him with a humble heart. That's just the way it works. In Titus, there's one more verse before we stop. It says, at one time, we too were foolish. It's Titus 3:3-7. Disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and aiding one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So Jesus is the grace of God, and Jesus came to give life forever. Glory, would you play that? Just going to have a time of prayer. And I don't know where you're at. Matt, why don't you come up, Matt? When I say know where you're at, I know where you're at in the seat. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe you feel like Jean Valjean in the clip, you know, lost, needing help. Well, Jesus is here to give life. That's a good deal. So you don't have to walk out of here wondering about that when Jesus is here to be the remedy. Not the Band-Aid, but the remedy. Maybe there's areas in your Christian life or walk that you know, need improvement. You saw the one scripture that talked about empowering us, you know, to strengthen us. Well, maybe you just say, I need to be strengthened. There's that grace I need over sin. There's that grace I need over these things. But, you know, I too often I don't run like Joseph did. But I need that grace. I want that fresh in my life. Maybe it's because you say, I really feel like, you know, my prayer life, I need more God's grace for my prayer life. I need more God's grace for my Bible reading, my Bible study life. Maybe it's sin in your life. I don't know. But what we'd like to do is let's all stand. And this doesn't need to be weird. But we believe in the power of prayer, Damascus Road. Prayer changes things. It takes things that appear to be and makes them as though they're not. That's the power of prayer. Prayer can change your life. Prayer is the request to God that asks for His help and allows Him to enter in and team with you to do the things you can't do on your own. That's what prayer does. So when I say we're going to pray, if God is speaking to you, this isn't like about who's guilty kind of thing, you know? It's not a judgment time. This is about, does anyone say, I need more grace in my life for these things or anything? Could be something God's already told you and I didn't mention at all. That's okay. That's God speaking to you. That's better. And so what I want to do while the song plays, if you would like that kind of prayer, just a quick prayer, Matt and I will be glad to pray with any of you. And if everyone needs prayer, then we'll pray for one another, each of us, okay? Because you're able to pray just as good as us. Let me tell you, your prayers matter to God too. Father, we thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your name. Father, let us live up to your name. When we say Christian, Christ in us, let us live our life in such a way that doesn't dishonor you, but glorifies you by the way we live. Give us the grace to walk that out. Now, Father, I just pray that as we go our own ways, as we have fellowship time here with coffee and talk and hang out a little bit, that, Father, we'd be like iron that sharpens iron. We would encourage one another. We would strengthen one another. And when we go out of these doors, God, we'd recognize we walk in the favor and the admonition of Christ and the grace of Jesus Christ. And, Father, those of us that have prayed and asked for those things in our heart today, Father, let that be made manifest. Let it be, let it become obvious in our life, that others may even see it and comment on it, and that we might be quick to give you glory and thanks in it. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for that lasting grace and favor that we walk in as your children. Be blessed, Lord. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.